We're back. Yes, it's me, Tony ZXpec Star, whatever you want to call me, as long as it's not rude. I'm back with my broadcasting partner of choice for this Fortnite is.
Hi, I'm Route1976.
Welcome back, matey. Have you enjoyed your time out?
Yes, I have. Yeah, thank you.
Right, right, people, this is going to be a slightly raw recording because we decided to be the absolute of hard men, and we're not going to edit it, this too much. Maybe take out the odd long pause, but keep it as it is. So if we're going to mess up, you're going to hear it. So
and things like that.
Yeah, let's not have too many of those. Hopefully, it's been a knackering month with all this hot weather, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, it's cooled down now. Actually, it was quite cold today.
Yeah,
compared to how it has been, and it's rained a lot here.
It's rained a lot there. God damn it, it's bloody roasting hot round by me today. I feel like a pork roast in the oven, seriously. But all in all, let's go down to our usual question and let all the people who want to listen to our podcasty goodness. Yes, we're back on the scene. We're going to be back every 2 weeks to make sure we cram your head full of retro goodness and just about anything we want to talk about. And we're going to have a new structure soon. To the way we're going to be doing the podcast, but I'm not going to tell you until you kind of realise it, because I'm mean and I like it that way. But first of all, let's ask the old immortal question. Malk, what have you been up to?
Well, lately I've been playing a lot of games on the Android phone, emulated games, mainly Mega Drive and Super Nintendo, more than anything. And that brings me on to something I wanted to ask you. What system do you think is better, the Super NES or the Mega Drive?
Tough choice. Did you watch over the Angry Video Game Nerds look out on the both of the systems that was linked in
no,
on the site?
No, I didn't, because I'll be totally honest, I agree with Andy. I'm not much of a fan of him, to be fair. And I can pretty much tell you what system he'll sell in it, a Nintendo, because he's American.
It's true on that side, but he puts a bit more of a balanced opinion across that. He actually does give Sega.
Did it win it then?
It did, but only just. But
that's a surprise.
Yeah, it's true. But he did give credit to Sega where it was due. It wasn't a one-sided tally, to put it that way. But for myself, now I've got over 70 Mega Drive games. Whose side do you think I'm on?
As I say, I did actually own a Mega Drive and sold it to buy a Super NES rather stupidly, and that was over one game, Street Fighter 2.
I know. Then you suddenly realise that later on another version of Street Fighter 2 came out for the Mega Drive. You're like, oh, god damn it.
Yeah, you see, the Mega Drive one is better and worse. It's better and it's got more things that the SNES one hasn't. You know, it's got the intro, it's got animation during the continue screens, you know, when it counts down.
Yeah.
It doesn't do on the Super NES. But the thing is, first time I've ever seen it, I've seen it running in a shop called Virgin Megastore, which is... shut down now. There's none of them, is there?
Yeah, it's kind of redundant.
Or something. And the Mega Drive one, more the music, and that's pretty good. The sound effects, sound samples are terrible, like, after everything they say.
Yeah, the Mega Drive wasn't too good at that. Yeah. But all in all, I think the first version had a large black border on the top, if I remember rightly, where the health bars are. It wasn't until they released the second edition of it as well, the Special Championship Edition, they had it more looking like the arcade. Or was it Super Street? Oh, it was one of them anyway. So
yes, Street Fighter is the second one, I think.
Yeah, but we've had enough about Street Fighter. We've done two podcasts on it.
it's probably my favourite game out of anything.
Oh, it's a lot
in and that sort of you know, arcade type game.
Oh, true. But you just can't beat the original arcade machine on that one though. That's why I love the main version. Yeah, the arcade version is a lot harder than the home console ports as well. Because I used to remember when I was playing the Super Nintendo version, I had the auto-fire joystick. I used to just pick Zangief, flick the three punches on auto-fire, and then just have him just completely keep going, clotheslining people in the corner. No one could get out.
I never used to use the auto-fire with it. I don't think I had an auto-fire joystick. Yeah. I had a terrible joystick itself. I can't remember what it was called, but it looked good, it felt good and everything, but it... you couldn't do fireballs or anything with it. It just couldn't recognise diagonals at all.
Is it one of those ones that are like really stiff on the keypad or just keypad joypad? Because I know like the competition pros were just really they were hard for it.
I can't remember what make it is. I did write it as a reply on my joysticks video, but I haven't got it here at a minute, so I did find out what it was. But it was, well, considering how much joysticks actually cost, I suppose it was only like cheap, about 30 quid or something. But I think that's when I started first using joysticks, you know. Well, obviously I'd use one for Commodore 64 and Amiga and whatever, but that's the first time I started using it for a console. And yeah, it's got to be the worst one I've ever used.
I could just imagine seeing you going to sleep at night, hugging up to your big joystick, stroking it lovingly as you go to sleep. anything else have you done?
Well, I've been playing a lot of this game that we're going to talk about today, and you know the sequels to it.
Mm-hmm. So, and I was sitting there getting myself knocked off the ring rust for that one. So, but for myself, well, anybody who knows me all know where I've been for the past 2 weeks. Yay! Out of this damn country. Yep. So, I spent a couple of weeks over in Holland with Blim. So we sat down, we had a laugh, we went out and about, we done some good stuff. So it's just great to get out of the country, though. It was just fantastic, and I didn't want to come home. I'm being serious. I really didn't want to come home. It's just so nice out there. The only thing that would be a problem out there: extreme lack of retro gaming shops. So if I could sort out that little problem, I will gladly quit my job, fly out there tomorrow. No, I can't really. I've got my son to look after. that would not make me popular with some people here. But I could tell you one thing about their mate, is the TV has misled a lot of young people out there making the red light district look so glamorous. It's not all that. I saw some scary stuff out there as well. I walked into one shop, and I was like, oh, there's porn in this shop. Yeah, there was porn from ceiling to floor, wall to wall, nothing but porn DVDs. I'm talking, this is an exorbitant amount of it. And I was looking at it, like, this is endless. how can the world make so much porn? But we hit the retro resistance, don't condone porn too much. We like it, I think. But but if anyone wants to go down there, it's just mind blowing. But two of the best laughs I had was we was walking down one of the streets, and there must have been one of the ugliest hookers I ever saw sitting there, and we just kind of walked off. Then we was coming back down again, and then she's like banged on the little window sort of thing as someone's going past. This guy must have turned around, saw her, and then he started walking off up the road, and the guy looked like he shit himself.
See, I always had the idea, you know, that was all good looking and that.
Oh, no. The ones I saw were average at best, so none of them that were really stunning.
Because you'd understand it, like, if they're like really, really nice.
Yeah. Then,
but if they're just nothing special, or they're like really ugly, like I would imagine ones you get here are, you know, crackheads and that.
Yeah, I think
well, a lot of them where I come from, they are anyway.
I still think some of them are crackheads out there anyway, so. Yeah. But the best thing that made me just fall on the floor laughing was when you come to this country, you see so many of those cheap little chicken places, don't you?
Yeah.
All around. And you know the favourite chicken and ribs one? There was one of those in the red light district. I just saw that and I just fell over laughing. I couldn't help myself. I'm like, oh dear God. And Blim was looking at me and was like, what's so funny? And I just pointed it out. And I'm like, oh dear Lord. I was like, they've even stretched out as far as Holland. It's that bad.
didn't have a wimp, is there?
No, they had no Wimpy's. Played Burger King's and McDonald's, though.
Oh, I like Burger King and McDonald's. But yeah, Wimpy's is my favourite.
Oh, but what you got... Next time you go to McDonald's, you have to do the McGangbang.
What's that, then?
What you do, you go there, you buy a... This is something which the cinema snob did. You buy a double cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And then you buy a chicken mayo.
Yeah.
You basically split the double cheeseburger in half. Mm. So you got one. You stick the chicken mayo in the middle, slap it back on top and eat it.
And I wonder why obesity's growing in America.
Yeah, it's exactly. But just give that a try. Just sit there and just try and get the whole thing in your mouth.
I'm just saying that. I ate 4 Big Macs once when I was about 16. Oh. Well, there was buy one, get one free, so I bought 2.
The only thing I ever liked from McDonald's was the McRibs. And every time they do the McRibs, they only do it for like a couple of weeks. And they say, oh, guess what? We're taking it away now. It's like, you sons of bitches.
We went McDonald's after work this morning. And you know what pisses me off? It's like that film you ever seen, Falling Down. If I go in McDonald's, I've got to order one of their fucking shit breakfasts, and I don't want one. I know it like, might be 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, but when you start work about 3 or 4, and you like feel hungry and that, I wanted like a Big Mac or something proper, not some shit breakfast thing.
I don't mind the breakfast.
And ain't the customer supposed to be always right?
Yeah, that's a bullshit sentence. I've worked in customer services. That's the biggest pile of bullshit walking the face of the fucking planet, that line is. Trust me,
they're always right. That's
they always see. When I used to work at PC World, my old customer services manager, he had one guy sitting there screaming and shouting. He literally left the guy shouting, got himself a cup of coffee, went and sat in his office. It was only then when the guy stopped raving and realised he wasn't there, he came back out again, put his coffee down, goes, "Now you're going to talk to me like a human being?"
Yeah.
Seriously, this guy sat there. One customer annoyed him so much, he offered him outside for a fight. And then he had a message from head office saying, I'm no word of lie, he had a message from head office saying that we hear that there's been some complaints from the customers. He faxed them back two words, and that was fuck off. I am not kidding. That was the two words he faxed back to head office. And I'm like, oh, jeez. But you know what?
We don't complain enough in this country.
Yeah, apparently we don't. But then when you get people like him, your point is invalid. Put it that way.
Well, you see, if I'm not happy about something, I will complain about it. But some people you get are like, just deliberately like arseholes about things. My dad, when we went to this place, I can't remember what it was, some sort of like restaurant type pub place thing, you know, this was years ago. He complained because there was fat on the gammon. They're supposed to be.
They're supposed to be, yeah.
And my dad complained about it.
Unless you get one of those ones out of the shop, those nice circular ones. Shut up, you're making me hungry.
But I like them ones. I like them better than the proper ones.
Yeah, true. But you're making me hungry. Let's move along, shall we? Getting off subject here. Right, moving in. Right. So, moving on. Right, we've got a little in free indie game section there. And I found this one while I was actually on holiday in Holland, because I was busy surfing the internet while Blim was practically asleep, hadn't woken up yet. And I found a free little game called Warning Forever, which I then handed to you.
Yeah.
I'll give you a little thing. It's basically like a sort of old top-down style shooter, and it's like a constant sort of boss fight, but the game itself kind of learns how you've taken the ship out each time and keeps modifying itself to be more defensive. And it's just a very smart little game. The game's like 1 meg long, not even that. But it's a very ingenious little game and gets very, very hard. The further and further you go, because there's time limits restricting.
And the ships get a lot bigger, don't they?
Yeah. Oh, they get fuckload bigger. But what did you think of it when I handed it to you?
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. So
it's a decent little game, little shooter. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very little indeed. But if somebody wants a little something to just take 5 minutes off their time, and they just want something a little bit different from the usual style, shoot up and dodge about 50 million bullets at the one time, I really do say give us a go. I'll stick a link in the page so people get it. It's completely free of charge. So, because we're nice to you like that, because we like giving away things for free. It's good.
And then we've been playing Free Jack as well. Is it Free Jack?
Free Jack as well, yep. That's a bit more of a modern game. But the best way I could try to put it is, it's like Mario Kart without carts, isn't it?
Well, it sort of reminded me of Jet Set Radio on a Dreamcast. Mm. Because I can't think of what the game's called, could I? So it looks like a Dreamcast game.
Yeah, it's used a similar sort of art style. But it's basically what they term as free running, as you go running across all sorts of crazy sort of landscapes.
Yeah, you get twats that do that, don't you, in real life?
Oh, yeah, you do. You should look on YouTube for some of these people. They're crazy motherfuckers, seriously. They are absolutely mental. But Free Jack is a nice little game. If you want to go do some free running style gameplay, it's mass multiplayer, so there's plenty of people running around and trying to trip you up and chuck garbage cans on your head and various other strange style power-ups. Getting frozen over by a penguin is just another one of mine. So, but Free Jack is, like I say, it's a bit more on the modern side, but it's free to play, so... Just type in Free Jack inside the server, and no, not the film that starred, what's his name?
Emilio Estevez, that's a good film. Yeah. It's got Mick Jagger in it, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, Mick Jagger. And I forget if you do Mick Jagger, it's not exactly a good thing, apart from the music he made.
Well, it's like David Bowie. I mean, you ever seen Labyrinth? Fucking
hell. Well, let's give it truth, honestly. That isn't a bad film.
No, but he's not the greatest actor, is he?
No, he's not.
It's like Mick Jagger's not, neither is he. I don't know why they do that. I've seen films with... What's that film I've got? I've got one with George Clooney in, yeah. It's one they done before he was, like, famous, because it was a B-movie after a few years. And it's got Gene Simmons in it, you know, out of Kiss.
Is it?
Mm. Yeah, Red Surf, I think it's called. I'm pretty sure it is.
Strange.
Yeah, it is, I can see it from here.
No, I think the only thing that's a remembrance for David Bowie from Labyrinth was the size of that codpiece he's got there. Jeez, that was just overemphasizing. far too much.
I don't dislike David Bowie, but I just don't think... I don't know. I better not say anything because I'll probably get slagged off by people that do like him a lot, because I know a lot of people do, my brother does. But I don't think he's got that great a voice myself. He's good at what he does.
Oh, come on. He had a string of hits in the UK, but...
And he's quite a weird bloke, ain't he?
Well, yeah, what was his name for? Ziggy Stardust, weren't it, or something like that?
I don't know. Yeah, I think so.
He must be taking some sort of drugs to think up that one, but never mind. But anyway, let's cycle this along a little bit and push it along. Right, getting into the three games of choice. In fact, it's all three games of the same series. Because I pulled this one out of the hat. And let's go for the first one. Let's look at Ghosts and Goblins. When was this one actually made? Ooh, 1985 by, well, if you don't know who Ghosts and Goblins is made by, you don't even dare call yourself a bloody retro fan.
Yeah, the Japanese computer console, or is it better known, Capcom?
Yeah, Capcom.
Not Captain Commando, as someone thought it standed for.
That's basically one sort of offshore abbreviation they gave for it once, but never mind. Yeah, yes, or Or other translation for is Makimaru. Is the Japanese name for it. Apparently it's Hell Village or some strange thing like that.
Yeah, and first time I played it, I didn't know what it was called, because where they used to have games at the fair where I used to go when I was a kid, and they didn't care about getting Japanese ones.
Yeah.
So I played it, and in the Japanese version of it, I think it's on main like that, it doesn't actually come up with an English title. It just comes up with, like, Japanese text.
Yeah, the kanji is always good for confusion if you do not know what it means. Yeah, so Capcom come with a nice little, like, I'd say it's a run and gun style game, but it's kind of more like run and lance, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sort of a platform game.
Yeah, so it's all good. You're moving your microphone around as well, aren't you?
Yeah.
Makaru Hellbird Ghosts and Goblins, where you control the little knight Arthur. Well, at least you know for one thing, at least the Japs borrowed off them. Off proper bloody legendary sort of Knights of the Round Table sort of things. Proof that they did hear about it out there. So as he goes on his way to save the old princess, yeah, typical bullshit story. It's like I keep saying when it comes to things like this. And, well, in essence, it is, so.
Well, you see, on the arcade at the start, they're in the graveyard and he's in his, like, just his pants with her, and it looks a bit, like, suspect, don't it?
Yeah, it's true.
That's what we didn't know what were they up to before then. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because was it the Red Armourer comes in, steals the princess, and he just jumps in his armour?
Yeah.
I'd love to know how he actually manages to do that, to actually jump into his armour. Does he, like, flatten his body out as he goes in there, like, he's smothered himself with axle grease and WD-40 just to make sure he slides in without actually no problems.
That's like we've done a podcast before about... ages ago, the one with Randy, and I wrote to Jim Will Fix It when I was a little kid because I wanted a suit of armor. Like, I don't know why, because I think it's because I went to this castle where I come from,
and you can't
Warwick
remember
Castle.
Me. Warwick Castle.
Yeah, you have been there.
No, I've never been there, so.
Oh, right, yeah, it's pretty good.
So you wanted to be Sir Arthur or Sir Lancelot or that lot and run around. I could just imagine you as when you were younger, scenes. You must have played Ghouls and Ghosts by then. You were like, I want to jump up and down and shoot zombies and things like that.
Well, you see, I played the first one on the arcade first, and then I didn't know what it was called because, as I say, it was a Japanese version.
I played the arcade version first as well, and I was a bit, This is a fun little game, but then there's always the one thing which did make it. It was fucking hard.
Yeah, that's right, and you get so far through it, and then you've got to do a lot again.
Yeah,
you've
got
to complete it twice or something to get the ending.
Well, you have a look at it. It goes with five levels, And then essentially because they send you back, that makes it 10. And it's like, oh, that's just cheap. But then you've also got to find the special weapon which will allow you to defeat Satan. Yay! Like, you're going to go pony Satan's ass with anything that's either relevant or anything else
like
this.
You get useless weapons on it as well, like the fire.
Oh, I hate that. Even, no matter what version of Ghouls and Ghosts or Ghosts and Ghosts, that fire is the most fucking awful weapon I know. It's got virtually no range, and it's just absolute... No, why?
It makes it impossible to kill, like, the bosses as well when you get them big...
Yes.
What that's supposed to be, actually.
Yeah, it's very, very true, because I know in the first one, they're like flaming torches, because you've got the dagger, the lance, and the flaming torches, and then the other weapon is the shield, isn't it?
Yeah, the shield's pretty good. The dagger's really good. The lance that you get as standard is pretty good. Mm. But the fire, you might as well die instead of getting that.
Yeah.
If I got that, I used to just deliberately, like, just either restart it, or deliberately die so that I could start from the start without it.
Yeah, because it was just one of those just dumbass weapons you just really, really didn't want. But along before Arthur's little journey, you go through the graveyard and go through the forest. There's an ice palace. There's some floating platforms, a fire bridge, and some caves. And then, of course, there's the final demon's castle, woo, sort of thing. It's basically where they really start racking the odds against you on a very stupid time limit. Because, just try to get through all that in one go. It was hard enough as it is, because whenever you always get hit by the projectiles or anything else, you always get thrown backwards, and that always proves a pain in the ass when you're right on the edge of a platform and
it's like, it'll blink, throw you off.
Yeah, and you're just like, especially on the second stage again where you go across those moving platforms, all it takes is something to be flying in the air. Goodbye. Don't matter if you've got your armor or not. So
that's something you didn't say. Because with that, you've got a suit of armour, but if you get hit, you actually jump out of the armour and he runs around just in his boxer shorts.
I know. I think they did that just to add that little bit of comical sort of tone to it.
It'll make it slightly easier as well.
Yeah, it's true. But that little thing for me was always just sitting there. It's like, yes.
We'll get onto that, because that feature's missing out of one of the versions of it. The conversions, believe it or not.
It's true, and the good thing for everybody at home, they all got a home version. I remember playing the Spectrum version. As much as people hated the Spectrum version, I actually liked the Spectrum edition. It was really quite nice.
I've never played that one. I've played it on a few systems. I played it on the Amstrad. The Amstrad one is all right. It's got no scrolling, and you don't have any armor whatsoever. Well, you've got the armor, but if you get hit, you're dead instantly.
I know. Kind of goes against the theory of the game, doesn't it? And that only makes it that little bit more harder. The Commodore 64 is possibly one of the closest ones, that one. They basically just shortened the game down a little bit.
Yeah, so it's short on the Amstrad as well. I've never completed it on... Because I can get to the last boss on the Commodore one, believe it or not, which I didn't know that until I watched a walkthrough on it.
Mm. Did you know they even did it for the Commodore 16 as well?
Yeah, that looks appalling on that. I've seen that.
It's only got two levels and all. And it's got no music.
No.
And like I said, and the two levels that were there, they kind of made them really, really easy. So the graveyard is just like, and the plant monsters are not even there. So they did it on the Commodore Amiga, which was possibly a perfect conversion.
Yeah, the ST's one was pretty much arcade perfect, believe it or not, as well.
Yeah, I still can't
Except
believe
they both got a bug in the Amiga and ST that. Unless you got the crack version, if you get to a certain level, you just can't complete the game. I can't remember what the bug was. But they actually fixed it on the cracked version of it.
Oh, that's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. And then you got the NES version. Obviously, the NES version's all right. But it's nowhere near as good as the arcade, obviously.
Yeah, it's very, very, very true.
And Game Boy Advance, I think, it's on that. And obviously, ports on, like, the collections on the PlayStation, the Sega Saturn, PlayStation 2... And your regular normal Xbox, you know, not the 360.
Not the 360. I could probably guarantee it's on the 360 somewhere. Guaranteed.
You know, I don't think it actually is. I might be wrong.
It's maybe worth a look. But, yeah. aside from that, despite the fact the game is hard as hell, and graphically for its time, it was pretty damn good. Especially for a game from 1985, yeah. And
I've got one of them little TV game joystick things. I've got a video. And that's got, like, a pretty much arcade perfect port of it on it.
Ah, nice. But all in all, it was well received as well, and I think all the home versions were pretty happy. But to me, it was just a really, really, really nice game.
Yeah, and I had it on a Commodore 64, and I was like really impressed with it back in the day. And the music's superb on it. I think when Andy done the 8-bit wars, he said that was the best version.
Mm. So all in all, it's got definitely a good thumbs up.
I don't think it's got a crap conversion either, has it? Most of them are pretty good.
Yeah, most of them are pretty good. It's been lucky. It survived having good conversions right across the board, which is a rarity across for nowadays.
Well, US Gold didn't do it, did they? Mind you, they did do... Oh, we'll get on
to that. Oh, yeah, they did the follow-up, didn't they?
Yeah.
Well, then Capcom decided that several years later, especially when they introduced their CPS1 hardware, they decided, hey, you know that game Ghosts and Goblins was hard? Hey, let's make it even fucking harder game. Yeah, out came Ghouls and Ghosts. And boy, did they rack the difficulty up. But then again, they also made it look a hell of a lot more prettier, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right. I've never actually played the arcade version of it, to be fair. I've only ever played... Because there's this thing called the Megatech, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like a Master System. It's like a rip-off, in a way, of... that NES thing you used to get in the arcade. I can't remember what that's called. And then you used to get a Super NES version of it. It's like that. It's basically like got a console, but it's in the arcade cabinet, and it's got the games on it like that. And yeah. One of the games, that's the first Mega Drive game I ever played on the arcade system, the Megatech, was Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yeah, and I remember I never played the arcade version until I got the emulated ROM set, and then I actually found out because I played the Mega Drive version first. And then that's when I actually found out, that the Mega Drive version was actually a lot easier than the arcade version. And even though the Mega Drive version was bloody hard, the Mega Drive conversion was actually pretty damn good. It was a very, very close conversion. But along with the gameplay, so what have we got? Well, it's pretty much the same sort of thing again. That useless princess has been kidnapped again, whose name is now Prin. Oh, come on.
Don't she get killed at the start of it?
She gets hit by something, but she's still alive. But then it's like Princess Prim Prim. Why don't they just call her Princess Princess Princess? They're just being damn lazy, I swear to God. So they extend it out, and there's a whole new bunch of stages for you to go through, apart from the complimentary graveyard, which they all seem to start off in. Go to a burnt out village, then going up to some sort of strange tower through Grim Face Mountains. The Crystal Caves, down into the Icy Descent. Then go from into Satan's or Lucifer's castle. Yeah, Satan and Lucifer are the same person, but they seem to be two entities in this system, or in this game as well. And then the final challenge of Lucifer's Chamber. So they extended the game out, and they put some new weapons in as well. Yet they've still got that useless fucking fire weapon. Did they not realise that from the first time? That freaking thing is useless. It's nice and blue now, but I'll give it that. But that's all I'm going to give it. But you've now got a short-range sword, which I would still use that over the fire. And then you've got these strange discus-type things, which you can then fight. But they also glide along the ground if you duck, which is good for taking out incoming enemies, especially if they're on a hill. And it also then also introduced the gold armour.
Yeah, that's right. And you can charge up the armour if you've got the gold one. And make lightning come out, or it depends on what weapon you've got, what it does.
Yeah, if you've got the standard lance, then you get the lightning blast. If you've got the axe, then... Oh, what was it? It makes it engulf like a nuclear mushroom around him. The dagger creates, I think, a double of him. So, yeah, it's all good. The only thing it doesn't... power up is the special weapon, which you yet again got to go and get once you get to Matey Boy's chamber. So yeah, Capcom have turned around and said, ha ha ha, we're going to do it to you again. And you're just sitting there like, fuck.
Yeah, I've never completed that game, neither. You said you could complete it, didn't you?
Yes, I can.
All right. I've never seen anyone do that. And I've never seen any... Well, I'm sure there is walkthroughs on YouTube and that, but I've never actually looked for it.
Oh, it pretty much is. The thing is, once you start going, you learn that the levels are actually not all that long in themselves. The Mega Drive version actually had extra restart points as well put into it, whereas on the arcade version, there's only two.
That's quite irritating when you get so far and then you start right at the bloody start of the level.
Yeah. Well, what they did on the Mega Drive version, they actually put a extra save point just before the bosses, so you don't have to go through any of the level again, which, in my opinion, sucks a little, but... Hey, can't have everything on that one. So, the music got increased, so there's quite some funky tracks to go with it. But, I think they did sufficiently enough to upgrade the game to actually make it worthy of a sequel. What do you reckon?
Yeah, because the graphics are a lot better. It's got... Obviously, it's running on better hardware, isn't it, I believe?
Yeah, it used the CPS-1 hardware.
Which Street Fighter 2 runs on, don't it, the first few versions of that?
Yep, they all run there. So all of Capcom's was like Final Fight.
And Strider does as well, I think.
Yep, Strider uses CPS-1 hardware. So
and then you've got the main difference right as well. You can fire the weapons upwards as well instead of just firing them, you know, straight in front of you, which is makes it a lot easier.
It does make it more. Well, give me truth, honestly, it don't. But yeah,
it's because you get like bits where like loads of birds come down and stuff out of trees and.
Oh, that's what I love having the gold armor at that point. You just sit there with the lightning bolt and just deep fry them as they come down.
Well, it's got a couple of versions, a few ports of it Capcom done themselves, I think. You know, on the Mega Drive, the Master System, what's it called? The PC Engine's got one, I think. I've never played that one, but apparently it's pretty close to the arcade.
Yeah, apparently the Master System version actually has like a shop where you can buy bits of armour in as well.
Yeah, I didn't think that was too bad. People moaned about it and that. But let's be fair, it's much better than any of the 8-bit home computer versions of it.
Was it there? Apparently the best version was on the Sharp X6800. That was supposed to be the best version of it as well. And also was rated very highly inside of... Oh, come on! US Gold licensed it. How could it have got such high score? I'm not going to get into this one, but I remember playing the Amstrad version of it, and it sucked. It was still scrolly, it was very glitchy, and
I've seen Benway's video of it, and it looks shite, to be totally fair, but it does lose the armour in it, which it doesn't on the thing, and then I've never played it on a Commodore 64. I've seen reviews and that on YouTube that say it's good, but I never played it myself, because back then that was when we had the Atari ST, and I have played the ST's version. Compared to like Ghosts and Goblins, which is pretty much an arcade perfect port, Ghouls and Ghosts looked, my personal opinion, fucking awful. The graphics are shit on it. It's got the music's all right, but it's not the same music as the arcade. And I just weren't impressed with the ST's conversion. Now, I think the Amiga is pretty much a port of the ST's one, but from what I've seen, it's got incredible music, even better music than the arcade. I can't remember the guy's name, actually. Let's have a look, see if I can find it. I think it's Tim Fowlin or something. I'm not 100% sure.
But either way, I've got it on the little Street Fighter 2 Mega Drive TV game. There's actually a copy of Ghouls and Ghosts in that as well. So
yeah, because my mate got that for his kids for one Christmas, and I wish I bought one of them when they come out, actually, because I do like Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, it's true, and the Mega Drive version ain't bad, and the controllers are attached to it, are 6-button ones, and there's 2 controllers attached to it as well.
Yeah, that's really good.
So that's a good thing. You want Instant Street Fighter? Bang! Straight in your TV. Let's play some Ghouls and Ghosts. No, that's what you do to torture somebody you don't like. In my own honest
opinion. Yeah, it is Tim Fowlin. Oh, I'm right. Yeah, the Amiga soundtrack is incredible on it. Apparently, the Commodore 64 one's good. I can't really comment on that because I can't remember. As I say, I never owned that one myself because I'd already... By that time, I think I'd got a Mega Drive then and got a Mega Drive version, which... as we said, he's pretty much arcade perfect anyway, or very close to it. Like Strider, you've seen Strider on the Mega Drive, that's a really good conversion.
That is a very good conversion, but we're not talking about that one now. The Master System version was probably the most altered one out a lot of it. Contains changes to the game, introducing power-up system, which can change, which changed their helmets, armors, and gave them different sort of abilities. Ooh, very, very nice. So, but like I say, it was a great push on from the rest of the series, and it carried on the legacy nicely. And then some smart bastard up in Capcom's office told me, I say, hey, look, we've got Super Nintendo, we've got all new sort of power there, and let's make the game even more fucking harder. Yeah, and Super Ghouls and Ghosts came out.
Now, Super Ghouls and Ghosts is... I think that's actually a totally different game, ain't it?
No, it still maintains the good old traditional Ghosts and Goblins style, strolling along and then shooting any fucking thing that comes along.
It's
about 91. Yeah, it's about 91, that one. But, yeah, that's called Chokomakamaru, or basically Super Hell Village. can you imagine that? It's a Super Hell Village. Yay! It's where Satan goes riding out on his horse and he goes around slapping the bitches.
It's incredibly hard, yeah. I had that on the Super NES. It is good, but I couldn't get very far on it because there's one bit where you get, like... It goes, like, black and white, flashes with a lightning and goes all black. And then you get, like, the water come down like a waterfall. And if you're not on the right bit, you can literally get killed every single time on it. And I used to get that annoyed with it. I got rid of that game in the end because it pissed me off that much.
Oh, I actually...
Because it's incredibly hard.
It is incredibly hard. I actually, with the help of save states, I actually managed to get through it on that one.
Yeah.
And it was just amazingly hard. The mainline reasons is, first of all, they changed the jumping system. And they gave Arthur a double jump.
Yeah, basically. But you get a lot of things come up out of the ground, and the ground rises and stuff.
Yep, and you could disappear into parts of the scenery and back and forth. So you could be just walking along, and all of a sudden you're behind something and someone's shooting you. So it just really, really, really kept you on your toes. And there was just so many events, even in the first stage. There was just so many quick-fire events where you got jump for one, then jump again immediately, and they just completely take you by surprise. It's like, ha-ha, hello! And you're like, ah! and especially when you go to the second stage, the second part where you're on the sort of leaf pattern, the water level's going up and down, you have to get through the aphids and the spikes. And it's just so damn bloody hard because of the fact that you're consistently going up and down. And the boss for that level doesn't make it any better either. Because he's sitting there going up and down, firing projectiles at you all the time. But you're going up and down at the same time as well. And it just leaves you so bloody easy to hit. And it's just like... But either which way, yes, the princess has been kidnapped again.
That's a good intro on that, how it zooms into the tower with the Mode 7 and, and stuff like that, and it looks really impressive.
It looks very impressive.
And I can't remember any slowdown on it, to be totally honest, on the Super NES version.
No, I can't. It was programmed really, really well. But the princess has been kidnapped again. Is she going for a record here? Is she trying to outdo Princess Peach or what? she's in for the competition of the most useless princess going. So,
and they were saying at the time, CMVG, that it makes a Mega Drive version look rubbish. And
the thing,
I don't know about that, because it's sort of a different game, ain't it, for a start?
It is a completely different game, because there is just so much so much differentiation between the whole sort of thing. The levels are all different. There's even one where you're actually inside a giant monster, and that does a similar sort of trick which they used in Castlevania 4, didn't they?
Yeah.
So they kind of used the same sort of thing for the rotating level on that one to create a similar sort of scrolling style level for that one, which was annoyingly bloody annoying at a point. they cranked up the difficulty again, but again, they've actually gave you some more power-ups. Yay! Life cycle, we bloody need. They introduced a crossbow weapon, if I remember rightly.
That's pretty good, a shuriken.
Yeah, the shuriken missile and the scythe type thing. So, yeah, they put some new stuff in, and they actually gave various different levels of armor. Because you've got his kind of crappy green armor, which basically don't do much, if you ask me.
No.
And then the gold armor gives you back your magic powers again. But then you also get a shield, which just simply allows you to take another hit. Which is always handy for that game. But there's so many sudden death moments inside that Super Ghouls and Ghosts. It's just like, sit there, you'll get your nice gold armor, it's like, hey! And then you'll suddenly be like, ah, oh, god damn it.
Well, it's like with Ghosts and Goblins. I mean, I've played that on the cracked version on the Amiga, where you can have it unlimited armor, but you can still die and have to reset the game because there's bits that cannot ping you off the side, like you said on an older podcast. So it doesn't make the game any easier, really, in that way.
Yeah, that is very, very true. And also the treasure chests that were inside Super Ghouls and Ghosts as well. They are actually more, you needed to hit them more because the majority of the weapons were hidden inside them. And of course, you also had the little wizards that were hiding. I think they were jesters or something like that in Super Ghouls and Ghosts, weren't they?
Yeah, I think they were.
Yeah, one that turns you into a baby. And
because on the other versions, you can turn into an old man, a duck, a frog in Ghosts and Goblins, I think.
Yeah. Well, at least with the old man, you can still kind of fight back.
Yeah, but he's really slow, ain't he? He's not very good.
Yeah. So, but you can even get turned in Super Ghouls and Ghosts. You can even get turned into a bee. So it's just like, oh. But what you get turned to is actually dependent on your armor on that one. So I've noticed that as well. If you've got gold armor, you actually get turned into a female. So
and then later on, it got put on Sega Saturn and PlayStation on the
Classics Collection.
What is it called?
Capcom Classics Collection or something. Capcom
Generation 2 on the PlayStation and Saturn. And I had it on the PlayStation, and it had obviously had all three of the, you know, Ghosts and Goblins, Ghouls and Ghosts, and Super Ghouls and Ghosts. Mm. But for some reason, the PlayStation version of Super Ghouls and Ghosts had terrible slowdown. I don't think the Saturn one would, but the PlayStation one was really bad with it, worse than it running on a Super NES.
Yeah, and that was always a problem for that game, especially if you're doing a double jump, because it seems like you could jump straight up, but if you start from a straight jump, you can't move. It's not until you do the second jump where you are actually able to freely maneuver yourself. Apparently, people could abuse that.
All right.
So, and once again, did they keep to their tradition? Of course, they fucking did. Get to the last bosses, which his name was Sardius. I don't know where they got that from. Apparently, this guy's bigger than Satan. So, and he quite literally was as well. He was massive. But then again, that was the thing with all the bosses as well. The first one was basically the sort of bad guy that appeared in the castles afterwards in the first game, and then Lucifer in the second one. Basically, you had to kind of like jump up on his knee to shoot him in the head, and he's like firing rebounding lasers and breaking parts of the floor away at all times. So you kind of had to keep on the move. And Sardius was just even worse. It's just so much ammunition flying around; it make a bloody bullet hell game look bloody ridiculous. But yeah, once again, you had to go through, and believe me, after I went through it for a second time just to get the goddess bracelet, that really, 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 before you could actually get the proper ending to the series. And as I said, there's like, oh yes, all happy, happy, oh shut up, go away.
No, I've never actually completed any of them games, none at all. The only ones I've completed are the later ones that were on the PS2 when it was called Maximo, Ghosts of Glory, and Maximo versus the Army of Zen. Which are both a lot easier than them.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Anybody sits and say, but it's a game called Masquer. It's Ghouls and Ghosts in the Sky. Shut up.
Even like when you got him standing there, he turns around and he whistles that bit. You know, what it does on the bit before, when you lose a life on Ghosts and Goblins, Ghouls or Ghosts or any of them, it's got that like, little tune that it does. And he whistles that on Maximo if you leave him standing there for so long. Because it is actually a sequel to them. Sort of. I don't know what I called it. Well, I know they're not Maximo in that, but it's quite strange that it didn't have Arthur in it again. I don't know why.
Perhaps they just didn't want to keep it too close to the whole sort of thing. Just have it there. So.
They're quite good games anyway, the Maximo ones. If not, like, obviously a lot easier than Ghosts and Goblins or any of them.
Yeah, it's true.
Except for some jumps, because it's a 3D game and the jumps just don't work on them very well. I don't think.
That's true. Well, it depends how it's done. At least it worked Bubsy 3D, put it that way.
Oh, that's terrible. I was going to do a video review on that. That's
do you really want to torture yourself like that?
I always turn the sound off because he talks shit all the way through it. And he's not like cool or anything. He's just irritating.
Well, the funniest thing is, I never played them, but that that Red Gargoyle thing, he actually got his own series of games, the Gargoyle's Quest games, and there's another one on the Super Nintendo called Demon Crest, so he kind of gained a bit of notoriety by himself. And then Arthur himself also reappeared in several other games. He was in Cannon Spike.
Yeah, that's right. Cannon Spike was really good.
Yeah, and he also turned up in Marvel vs. Capcom 3 as well. Fan service! Yeah, there you go. And strangely enough, Super Ghouls and Ghosts sold over 1 million copies. Wow. Not many Super Nintendo games did that.
But so Street Fighter 2 did.
Yeah, that's true. But the thing about it, over 1 million copies of Street Fighter 2 to well-deserved players, and then that is over 1 million copies of pure and excruciating torture sent through. At least 500,000 extremely pissed off gamers.
See, this is what, I know this is like something we always moan about. I can't see how Call of Duty sells as many as it apparently does. It's outsold everything, pretty much.
Yeah, I know.
It breaks records, so they say.
Yeah, I know. We're not going to get into that one. So definitely no. We're not going to get into that one. So, but all of those, but still, a million copies for a game like that.
Yeah,
it was just fantastic. The whole series on a whole is just brilliant. They're definitely a good set of games. And there was one release on the PSP, but
Ultimate Ghosts and Goblins.
Ultimate Ghosts and Goblins.
Because I used to have a PSP, and where I used to work, I'd just be by myself pretty much all day. Yeah. And no one would check up whether I was doing what I was supposed to be doing or not. So I used to do my job really quickly, yeah, and then hide in the toilet and play on my PlayStation Portable. And I completed loads of games like that. I completed Afterburner, Black Falcon? Some of the Metal Gear Solid games on it, I got pretty far through them. You know, but I basically, that was before I got my PlayStation, my PSP, I mean, so that it could play the emulators like what Andy does with his.
Mm.
And I got Ultimate Ghosts and Goblins, and it just got to the stage it pissed me off that much I got rid of the game. Because it was too difficult.
Yeah, that is the choice game for Ghosts and Goblins and Ghouls and Ghosts sadists, if you ask me.
Yeah,
if
it's worse than any of the others, definitely.
Yeah, if you think you're hard enough, go and give that one a go. But anybody who's got an iPhone, there's actually two. There was Ghosts and Goblins, Golden Knights 1 and 2 that were also on the iPhone, apparently.
I'll have to have a look at them. I've never seen them.
Yeah, it's Ghosts and Goblins, Golden Knights 1, Golden Knights 2. Apparently, it allows you to be Lancelot in the first one and Percival in the second one.
Oh.
Yeah, I think they're kind of borrowing off Knights of the Round a little bit there, don't you think?
Yeah, Knights of the Round's a pretty good game. I was playing that the other day as well.
Mm. But the other side as well, what they did, they actually did some DLC on the iPhone, but what this DLC did was it actually helped you out during the games instead of just selling you more shite.
Yeah.
So you was able to actually sit there, you could buy a little DLC and it'll give you unlimited lives, it'll take traps away and then allow you to do triple jumps. So it's a different way of selling DLC, it really is. DLC, yeah. It's a completely different way of selling it. So instead of just boosting more in the game, let's make these games a little bit easier. Wish they thought of that for Ultimate Ghouls and Ghosts at some point, don't you? you need a miracle to actually get yourself through them bloody things.
Yeah, it's not surprising why they didn't port it to any of the other systems, really, because it was that difficult. I don't think it done that well.
Mm. Apparently there was going to be an online version as well, Ghouls and Ghosts Online. But that never seemed to come through, did it?
No, and there was some incredible looking remake that someone done ages ago, and Capcom stopped them doing it because it did actually use some of the ROMs out of Ghosts and Goblins.
Yeah, and they are
graphics, and it looked amazing, really good.
Mm, they are pretty finicky. I'll tell you what they should just do: just redo the first trilogy, but do them all with nice high definition graphics.
Yeah,
that would be awesome. I would buy that. I would buy that because I just want to torture myself. Put it that way. I feel like torturing myself. I know. I will go have a game of Ultimate Ghosts and Goblins. as the equivalent of whipping yourself with a very large flog, isn't it? All right then. So bit short of this Fortnite people, like I say, because we're just getting ourselves back into the swing of things.
Yeah.
But that's our Yeah, but that's our overall look on the Ghosts and Goblins trilogy, or at least the first three. if you want yourself a really, really tough game, one that I could literally say a game that is going to turn around and kick your ass, literally, quite literally kick your ass, then this is the best one to go for in all aspects. What do you reckon, mate?
Oh yeah, definitely. I suppose it does work really well as an arcade game because it's designed deliberately to take your money off.
Oh yeah, definitely true. That game was a coin guzzler, definitely. So if you ever find an arcade machine, get yourself a nice stack of 20p's or a nice stack of pound coins. You're gonna bloody need them on that one, because there's no way. Well, I've even tried accessing the dip switches and setting the game to its easiest skill level, and it's still fucking hard.
Yeah, I've had it with 8 lives, and obviously you can keep continuing as many times as you want. And I just got it's that hard. It gets to the stage where it pisses me off, and I just turn it off in the end because it irritates me that much.
Well, the ideal thing is once you realise the layouts of the levels, it's a lot easier. And then you also know when the box is going to pop out and you can use them to your advantage. Doesn't quite work as much as on Super Ghouls and Ghosts, because one slip of the move and you end up going some other direction and you're like, it just ends up getting on your nerves. Okie dokie then. So time for a wrap up.
Yeah.
Right. First thing I want to talk about on the wrap up. Play Expo in Manchester next month. I'm going to be there. I don't know if you're going to be there.
More than likely now, yeah, more than likely. I'm not 100% sure, because I've still got to work out how I'm going to get there. But yeah, mm-hmm. More than likely.
Okie dokie. So if any of you people who are listening to us in the UK, and if we are going to be at the Play Expo, it'll be me, Malk, or both of us down there. So if you want to be there, and if you see us and walk about, what we'll do is we'll see if we can find some ugly mug shots of us, which we can stick about. Don't just look at the little pictures that I do each weekend. Trust me, we look like our little splash screen icons. Trust me.
Is Will going?
No, I'm afraid he's not going to be able to go.
Potty Boy's not going either.
No, Potty Boy. So we're the only ones sticking for the resistance. And also the Retro Asylum are going to be there. As far as I know, Swainy, Andy, and Glenn are going to be there.
Glenn lives right near it, don't he? Pretty much.
Pretty much in Manchester. So if he's not there, then you know what I'd love to do? I'd love to see him mess up or something with the joystick like he did last year again. And then we can then snigger and point fingers at him. and then go, ha, you got it wrong. And that would just be awesome. But no, so if you recognise our voices while you're down there, if you're listening in, then please go, come say hello to us. We're not going to bite your head off. We'll probably kidnap you and do something unsavoury, but no. we're a pair of nice guys, so if you see us and you recognise us from our rather strapping voices, then come along and say hi to us. We're always good for a chat. So also, if you're going to be there, leave a comment as well. Let's move on. iTunes. We still haven't had an iTunes review in ages. On this one.
As I say, I've never checked it because I don't go on iTunes.
Yeah, you got to remember, I only have iTunes on my system begrudgingly just to make sure we keep check on what's going on. So if anybody's listening, please leave us an iTunes review, or leave us a review on Podomatic if you're listening on there as well. Any comments which we can find, we'll gratefully pick up. There was something which I saw on this one, so now I've switched to my YouTube account. Would you like to give out any thank yous for the time being, Malk?
Yeah, thanks to Retro Resistant. Oh fuck. you got that bit out. Thanks to the Retro Asylum, Andy Swainy, Glenn, everyone from there, Scopey, everyone that watches our videos on YouTube and subscribe to the channel.
Yeah, definitely.
And the odd pod, and Gamer Dads as well.
Yeah, the game. Now it's quite funny because I listened to the Gamer Dads last podcast. They were doing their mainstream one, and they were actually mentioned on where they were actually seeing where their viewers were from, or their listeners were from. And then Moobit had turned around and said, oh, we've got someone listening from Barkin. So I kind of sent him an email. So he goes, yeah, the one listening from Barkin is probably me. So I had a chat with Moobit through email. Yeah. He was after something to help him get iTunes synced up with his Android phone. I found something for him. I don't know if he used it. So Moobit, if you're listening, mate, let me know if that program I linked to you worked. we'd be most grateful. Then I can find out if what I gave you wasn't actually just a whole load of Gumpham. I'm trying to find out where my messages are. Andy, goddamn you, where did you hide them in the forum? because I did have a message from somebody. There you go. Oh, there you go. Just go there. So, oh, actually, we'll go for this one. This is from the site. This is from Ex Mosquito. You sent me a private email. It came from YouTube as well, and I kind of lost that one on there. He says there, hi there, ZXBexstar. Great podcast. I've been a fan since the first episode. Woohoo! And I used to listen to you in a few episodes that were Andy's 1HMPS podcast. Jeez. I noticed that earlier on YouTube channel that the next episode of RR is going to be out about Ghouls and Ghosts, which is one of his favourite series of games of all time. I assume you meant Ghosts and Goblins and the sequels. Yep, that was true. That's what we've been talking about. Yeah. He says, anyway, it used to really annoy me when people back there used to say these games were impossible to complete without around 6 billion credits. He's put a number on here. 6647476. Well, that's about 66 million. And were designed just to eat your money to complete it. It really annoyed me. Yeah, it was designed to eat your money. But then again, if you knew how to do it, and if you knew the patterns how it worked, then you could do it with less than 66 million credits. I also put a link to my YouTube channel video. He made a couple of months ago. He actually completed the arcade Ghouls and Ghosts with one credit and almost one life. Ooh. Right, what I'll go do, people, is I'm going to actually link that in here as well. And he has a friend that can do the same for the first Ghosts and Goblins. Wow. You people are insane. Put it that way. But no, thanks very much, Ex Mosquito, for doing that one. I'm quite glad I actually read out your mail to you. Please keep listening to the podcast. It's always good to hear that our fan base is listening in to us, and they're probably not sitting there saying, yeah, that should be shit on there, ain't it? Okay, but like I say, thank you to everybody. Thank you to Andy and Co. up on top of us. Yeah, come open the open the basement door when it's time for the meet up with you.
I'm trying to find, yeah. See, someone sent me a message on the Retro Asylum. I think I can't remember the guy's name. I do apologise, and I never got back to him because I was gonna. You know when you like think you're gonna reply to someone or something, and then you just don't get around to doing it. It was just about what's the best way to record the videos and that, but I never actually got back to him, and I can't find a message now. It must have deleted it. So,
oh well, if you're looking for the best way to record a video, get yourself a copy of Fraps by Fairmeans or Foul. That's possibly one of the best things you could do for recording videos.
Well, I always use Thingy as well. Snagit.
Yeah, that's another way of doing it.
Because things Fraps don't seem to work with MAME for some reason. It always messes up my one, and the Amiga emulator, it messes up with that.
It's a matter of looking about and seeing what you want to do. Once you're in there, you can just use a basic movie editing package and just save it at a standard 1280x720, and there you go, high-definition videos on YouTube. That's how I do it.
Did you see that video I uploaded of, what's it called? That Crazy Kong?
I did see that one as well. I should have seen it because I transferred it to the Retro Resistance webpage. Or the Retro Resistance channel. Yeah, exactly. So, of course, I saw that one. Yeah. But all in all, yeah, please, also to the people on YouTube, big thank you to you guys as well for joining in and listening as well. Always a pleasure to have you listening to us too.
Are you going to do any more video responses or anything?
Maybe some point in the future if I can think up of another acquisit. I've currently got my Christmas special planned already.
Yeah, because I said I weren't going to get any games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm actually going to get Tekken Tag 2 when it comes out.
Look, well, you're a big Tekken Tag fan anyway, so
yeah. I could do a show about Tekken, but it's not old enough, I don't think. And that was at its peak with the third one, anyway, I reckon. And then obviously Tekken Tag. First PlayStation 2 game I ever played or seen, not my friend's one. And so obviously that Tekken Tag 2 has been in development for years.
Well, the original Tekken was made in 1994. Yeah, we could possibly get away with that one. Unless I'm at Tekken 3, when was that made?
98,
Tekken,
I think.
Yeah, so I'm at 1997.
Oh, that was close.
Yep, 98 for the year. So there you go, people. If you want us to do a Tekken based one, Give us a message on there.
Because I know it's like slating 3D fighters, but I do like them. Virtua Fighter's all right as well. I suppose because that was the first ever one, weren't it? Yeah. And they seem to have a lack of gravity in those sort of games, though, when you do flying kicks.
Yeah, that's very, very true. I'll tell you what, we do a 10-year lifespan, don't we? We could do up to Tekken 4. Yay!
Right. Which one's 4? Oh, that's PS2, ain't it?
Yeah, it was.
I haven't got four, actually. I've got five. I only bought five because it's got the first three arcade versions of them included on it, so I've still got it.
Yeah, so, and I say it's 10 years old. That'll do. Right, so there you go, people. If you want us to do a Tekken podcast, leave messages, and if we get enough in there, we'll do it.
Yeah. So I bought Soul Calibur 5 the other day and another game for the 360 because I got them really cheap. That's the only reason. But as I say, with games like that, I wouldn't spend a lot of money on them anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, well, at least you got cheap. Okie dokie, Zane. Right, so big thank you to everybody. Thank you all for listening. Please, if you're listening to us through iTunes, leave us a review. Tell us what you think. We don't care if you don't like the podcast. Leave us a review and tell us to say, oi, that's all shit there. And then we know where we're going wrong somewhere. So big thank you as well. Please check out The Game of Dads. Please check out The Odd Pod as well. Great. I still call him a one-man army for old BuzzBop. For doing
yeah,
what he
no,
does
I liked his Rampage one the other day. I still haven't commented on that. I'll get around to doing it.
Yeah, I've got to get down to that as well.
There's two versions of that on the 64.
True. That's another game we could look at in the future. Anyway, this is Expect Star saying goodbye, everyone.
Yeah, and it's Bob.